Service for the first Sunday in Advent comes from St Mark's Church in Portadown. The preacher is Canon Noel Batty and the service is led by Canon Michael Kennedy.
Good morning and welcome to St Mark's Church here in the heart of Portadown. Currently, St Mark's is in the process of seeking a new rector, and in the meantime, I, as a retired clergyman, look after the worship here. However, it is in another role that I have been invited to take part today, as Warden of Readers in the Diocese of Armagh, along with the Assistant Warden, the Reverend Angus Mays, and the Reverend Keith Marshall, Curate Assistant of St Mark's.
The Church is very fortunate these days in that it is a place for many different kinds of ministry within worship, so that along with bishops, priests and deacons in the full-time ministry, there are non-stipendary clergy whose livelihood is earned in a secular career, diocesan lay readers who do an invaluable service in every diocese, and in more recent years, a growing number of parish readers as well.
This year, we have 13 men and women in training as parish readers. And last year, we had five. Five who are taking part in our service here this morning. Martin is a contracts manager, Adele, an accounting technician in the health service, Michael is a civil servant, while Samuel is a former soldier, and Jennifer is a retired nurse.
Parish readers train for up to a year before being commissioned, and while at the end of their training they will not preach or celebrate sacraments, they will read services, conduct prayers and assist the clergy. And in doing so, they'll be conscious that they're part of a wider whole and that proclaiming the Christian gospel is implicit in the whole of the liturgy in which they take part, a liturgy which on this Advent Sunday calls all people to repent.
Christ is mine, it seems to say. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love.
Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouth will proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
Unto thee, O Lord, will I lift up my soul. My God, I have put my trust in thee. O let me not be confounded, neither let mine enemies triumph over me. For all they that hope in thee shall not be ashamed, but such as transgress without a cause shall be put to confusion. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. Lead me forth in thy truth and learning, for thou art the God of my salvation. In thee hath been my hope all the day long. Call to remembrance, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, which have been ever of old. O remember not the sins of of my youth, but according to thy mercy, think thou upon me, O Lord, for thy goodness. Gracious and righteous is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Then that are meek shall be guided in judgment, and such as are gentle, then shall he learn his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The first lesson is taken from Jeremiah chapter 33, beginning at verse 14. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called: the Lord, our righteous Saviour.
Jesus, Saviour of the world, come to us in your mercy. We look to you to save and help us. By your cross and your life laid down, you set your people free. We look to you to save and help us. When they were ready to perish, you saved your disciples. We look to you to come to our help. In the greatness of your mercy, loose us from our chains. Forgive the sins of all your people. Make yourself known as a Savior and mighty deliverer. Save and help us that we may praise you. Come now and dwell with us, Lord Christ Jesus. Hear our prayer and be with us always. And when you come in glory, make us to be one with you, and to share the life of your kingdom. Amen.
The second lesson is from St. Luke, chapter 21, beginning at verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable: look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man.
Oh, One of the joys of clerical retirement, in which you volunteer to do vacancy duty on Sundays, is that you come to see the inside story of other people's churches, not all that different from your own. You have the pleasure of taking part in the worship of each new church to which you're allocated, but you are never in danger of being waylaid at the church door about such major world-threatening problems as the leak in the church porch, the fact that Mrs. Nags didn't get any flowers after the harvest, or that Mr. Snipe's magazine wasn't delivered last month. Of course, this freelance existence has its pitfalls as well. In your old place, you never lost your books or part of your robes because they were always in the one location. Whereas nowadays, everything has to travel with you each time. Everything apart from the problems, that is, they can be left behind. In the 3 years since I moved back to the Diocese of Armagh, I've taken services in something like 26 or 27 different churches, and I must say it's all been great, so long as I'm back in time for my train to Belfast in the afternoon. Someone said recently, it's all a bit like speed dating for elderly clergy, without any prospect of a long-term relationship in the end. And I suppose that could be true. Although I must confess, I've been in one or two parishes recently where I wouldn't have minded giving a few more years of full-time service. But that, of course, was on bright sunny days. Seriously, though, I would have to say that there is no greater privilege than that of leading people in the worship of the Almighty and helping somehow to draw them closer to the one whose living, loving, creative spirit is all around us all of the time. The one in whom we live and move and have our being, as St. Paul put it to the men of Athens. The one who constantly calls us back to himself and beckons us ever upwards. Upwards to a level of existence raised far above the hassle of what we imagine to be successful lives, and to a sense of inner peace when we have done so. And for that privilege, I'm more than grateful. Now, I said earlier, since I moved back to the Diocese of Armagh, and that's because it was 50 years ago this Advent that as a second-year divinity student, I came to look at the first parish in which I was later to serve, that of St. Anne's in Dungannon. The then warden of divinity travelled with me that day because he was preaching at St. Anne's the next morning. Now, in those days, the third Sunday of Advent, focusing as it did and does on John the Baptist as herald of the kingdom, was used to speak about the ordained ministry and to encourage vocations. And that's just what the warden did that Sunday morning, expounding on a theme on which I'd heard him speak many times before. The parson, he would say to his students, is one who is called to present the persona of Christ to his people, to give expression to the life and spirit of Christ, not just in word, but in every aspect of that ministry. Proclaiming God's kingdom, he would say, is not a matter of expounding endlessly in the pulpit, on the assumption that the longer the sermon, the greater the witness. Quite the opposite at times, in fact. But it is rather about seeking to present the reality of the person of Christ in the whole of our ministry, a role in which we all fall very far short indeed, I'm afraid. And John the Baptist, we'd be reminded, was the last of an old order. And when his life was drawing towards a close in prison, it wasn't the words of Jesus that his cousin sent to reassure him, but evidence of the reality of that which he proclaimed. Go and tell John what you see and hear, he said. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and so on. Here is one who comes to meet the real needs of real, ordinary people. and who manages to do so because they recognize him as one who really cares for them in exactly the same way as the Good Shepherd both knows and cares for his sheep. The Good Shepherd who is, after all, the model for all ministry and who cares for each one of his flock individually because each one matters to him as a unique being. And that Good Shepherd not only provides for their needs day by day, but he also protects them from their own destructive demons and goes on seeking them out whenever they go astray. His is no mere talking religion, but one which is deeply rooted in genuine love and compassion. Unlike the religious zealots of every age, the Good Shepherd doesn't waste time sniffing out particular sins or sinners for condemnation, but simply comes with the offer of hope and restoration. And that's because he sees the world in an entirely different way from us, who are so earthbound and so narrow-minded as well. Just think for a minute of what he said from time to time, how he upsets the religious people as he comments on the reality of the publican's repentance in the temple. That sinner who just lurks in the shadows, hardly daring to show his face among these holy ones or to lift his eyes towards heaven. And again, how he draws attention to the real sacrifice of the ragged widow casting her last few coins into the collecting box, whereas the good-living, successful, young, respectable lawyer, trapped in his own wealth and goodness and religion, causes him only grief and sorrow and regret. Yes, this Jesus was different. And yes, he was Messiah. He did come to warn. He did teach and preach and tell stories about the kingdom, as our Advent Gospels remind us very clearly every year. But more importantly, he showed people what the kingdom was like, first and foremost, by the very person that he was. Put very simply, people could see in him all of the love and compassion and mercy of God. And all of this was visible for those who are willing to see it in the totality of his life and death. Here, indeed, was the truth sent from above. And it was because simple, ordinary people could see this that they were drawn to him in their thousands. And that is the message for every proclaimer of the gospel, from parish reader to bishop or archbishop. And it's a message which we ignore at our peril. The kingdom is first and foremost something that must be seen within us, and that is where it must always begin. It's fine to have skills as a reader or a speaker. It's great to know that in using these skills, we are backed up and upheld by the prayers of our own people. And I, for one, can never express adequately my own indebtedness to those who across the years have given me such support, because I have to confess that anything worthwhile that I have ever done is due to them, and to them belongs the credit. Again, it's good that we should prepare diligently for anything we do in God's name by making time and space, first of all, within ourselves. But most of all, it is essential that anything we do or say springs from the spirit of that same compassionate and loving God who has called us to this particular service, so that that same spirit in turn may touch each one of our listeners. And if we do this, then we have indeed a very precious gift to share and a wonderful service to offer to both man and God, and one which will bring blessing upon us all. Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord,
and grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen,
and grant her government wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness,
and let your servants shine for joy.
O Lord, save your people,
and bless those whom you have chosen.
Give peace in our time, O Lord,
and let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, make clean our hearts within us,
and renew us by your Holy Spirit.
Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal, through him who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Watchful at all times, Let us pray for strength to stand with confidence before our Maker and Redeemer, that God may bring in his kingdom with justice and mercy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God may establish among the nations his sceptre of righteousness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may seek Christ in the Scriptures and recognise him in the breaking of the bread. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God may bind up the brokenhearted, restore the sick, and raise up all who have fallen. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the light of God's coming may dawn on all who live in darkness and the shadow of death. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That with all the saints in light, we may shine forth as lights for the world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord our God, in these uncertain times, we pray for a world which at times seems to have lost its way. We pray for the leaders of the nations in their responsibility to you and all mankind. And we pray for the coming of your kingdom of peace and love, that it may be a reality in our generation and in our time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And we continue to remember before you, Lord, all victims of conflict and violence in our world, the bereaved, the injured, and the permanently maimed, the homeless, the refugees, and those who have lost everything. And we pray for all who seek to bring them healing and comfort. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Almighty God, as your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, first came to seek and to save the lost, so may he come again to find in us the completion of his redeeming work. For he is now alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, for ever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
God the Father, who loved the world so much that he sent his only Son, give you grace to prepare for life eternal.
Amen.
May God the Son, who comes to us as Redeemer and Judge, reveal to you the path from darkness to light.
Amen.
May God the Holy Spirit, by whose working the Virgin Mary conceived the Christ, help you to bear the fruits of holiness.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always.
morning service came from St Mark's Church in Portadown. The service was led by Canon Michael Kennedy and the preacher was Canon Noel Batty. The organist and director of music was Stuart Nelson. And next week we'll be at Kilkeale Presbyterian Church for a service of thanksgiving for the harvest of the sea. Morning service is a Blackthorn production for BBC Radio Ulster.